American kids are doing better at arithmetic. Not so much the reading and writing, though.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Our program this morning is all about gauges and surveys that are giving us a better idea of what the economy looks like now and what it will look like. First, a government study out today called The Nation's Report Card says younger students in this country are doing better at math. And that could mean better things for the job market down the road. Marketplace's Eve Troeh is with us live in our L.A. studio with the latest on that. Hey, Eve.
Hi.
We hear all the time how bad U.S. test scores are. Are these numbers encouraging?
Well, they're not discouraging,
That's maybe good.
A better way to say it. So test scores overall in this measure have risen steadily, like one little percentage point at a time for about 20 years. But given all the money and classroom time we've poured into testing, a lot of people would like to see some home runs here, not just singles. Mm. And then you can think of it this way, though. No strikeouts, no dip in the scores, even though public schools are handling more children in poverty and more children from immigrant families.
All right. What are the consequences and what consequences do these scores have for the economy?
That depends on which economy you mean. Yeah. The scores did show an achievement gap, with white and Asian students doing a lot better than other groups. And for those students on the bottom, that affects how they're going to live in this economy, whether they get good jobs, move up. And on the international stage, it's hard to say. The U.S. is in the middle of the pack compared to other wealthy nations. I talked to Gary Burtless at the Brookings Institution, and he said, you know, despite being a bit embarrassing on these test scores, so far they haven't hurt our economy.
And we just don't know whether it's the performance of sort of the average youngsters in school, or whether it's the performance of the superlatively talented youngsters in school that makes a bigger difference.
He says, you know, think of Steve Jobs. Mm-hmm. You don't need 100 Steve Jobs. You just need one every few years.
Yeah.
And our educational system has been providing that.
All right. Marketplace's Eve Troeh here in the studio. Eve, thanks.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mostly higher right now as the G20 gets underway in France today. American companies said they cut around 42,000 workers last month, according to job placement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gave back 297 points to close at 11,657.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by PBS, presenting The Fabric of the Cosmos, a new Nova series with physicist and author Brian Greene, starts tonight at 9, 8 Central on PBS. By Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. And by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com.
There are results today of a study done by the BBC World Service. The poll looked at economic attitudes in more than two dozen countries. And it shouldn't come as much of a surprise. There's not much optimism. The BBC's Andrew Walker reports.
The recovery from the recent global recession has often been described as unbalanced, strong in the emerging economies, sluggish in the rich world. That is certainly reflected in this poll commissioned by the BBC. Fewer than 10% of people in Japan, France and Britain are hopeful for the near future. But in the developing world, optimists outnumbered pessimists in nearly every country surveyed. In Nigeria, more than 70% expect good times ahead. Justin Urquhart-Stewart of Seven Investment Management is not surprised by the poll's results.
And what you've had in the major Western world is a huge lack of confidence throughout the Eurozone and to a great extent in the States as well. But of course, that doesn't mean the whole world's doing badly, because half the world's actually doing really rather well.
Things in the rich countries may now be even worse than the poll suggests. The research was done between July and September of this year. Since then, the situation in Greece has deteriorated further, and few expect it to get much better soon. In London, I'm the BBC's Andrew Walker for Marketplace.
Today, the United Nations releases a new measure showing how people are really doing economically on the planet. It's called the Human Development Index, and the U.S. is not number one. Marketplace's David Brancaccio tracks different ways to gauge economic health with his Economy 4.0 series, and he's with us now. Good morning, David.
Morning, Steve.
So the UN's Human Development Index?
Yeah, it starts with a family's income, then looks at a health indicator, life expectancy at birth, then factors in years of education. If you look at it this way, the United States does okay, number four in the world behind the usual suspects. Care to guess, Steve, who the usual suspects are?
One of the Scandinavian countries, I would imagine, right? They're always tops on those lists.
Yeah, you got it right. Norway is number one. We're behind Australia, Netherlands, and Norway. But here's the thing. The Human Development Index report also has a section factoring in the gap between rich and poor within the countries. Here's Bill Orme of the UN's Development Program.
It's quite striking that the United States, of the advanced industrial countries, the one that is most radically affected by an inequality adjustment. That is to say, it drops 19 spots.
19 spots, bringing us down to number 23 in the world.
But isn't growing income inequality, you know, the way things are going right now, the way the world?
Well, there are countries making progress here. Today's figures show that some emerging market countries, Brazil, Chile, Argentina, are actually reducing their income gaps.
Emerging markets, but what about the poorest countries, though?
The Human Development Index data has some good news there. If current trends continue, health, education, income, by mid-century, by 2050, the majority of countries on the planet will be doing as well then as the top 25% countries are doing now.
If trends continue, what does that mean?
Well, you just saw right through me, Steve. The UN says current trends are very unlikely to continue because of climate change. Deforestation, rising sea levels would hit the poorest countries especially hard. But the report says that countries that do have high standards of living, do rank high in this Human Development Index, can still do something about the carbon dioxide linked to climate change. They point to Denmark that's making a lot of strides in that area.
Marketplace's David Brancaccio with our Economy 4.0. David, thank you.
You're welcome.
And finally, a woman in Berlin went to the butcher to pick up a bag she pre-ordered of cold cuts and veal steaks. Instead, she got a bag of about $2,800. Apparently, the bags look similar. The woman said she was flabbergasted by the mistake, and when she finally informed the butcher of the error, she got a $150 reward and a basket of sausages. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. Of course, you can get the podcast from our website. Share your thoughts with us and check the numbers throughout the day, marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal with Marketplace.
And I'm Justin Rowlatt with the BBC World Service's Business Daily. Tune in for a joint venture of sorts.
A look at why everything is global, from what's happening in the Eurozone
to what's happening next door.
When people place orders a month in advance, I have to say, okay, it might be this price, but it could be this price if the euro goes back up.
All that and more from Marketplace
and the BBC
on APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.